Tonight, for a few moments, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. You know, I've been praying, and I tell you, I'm burdened down or whatever, but I know that right now we're in a position, and I think that really 2015 is a time for us to really turn things around, not just for the church, but for our own well-being also, and turn our life around. I know that we all been living a decent life. We've lived for the Lord. We've asked the Lord to help us, and we're trying to do what He's asked us to do, and but still, we can see where in God's Word, and I was reading some scriptures yesterday, I believe it was, about Paul, and you know, Paul, he was an individual, you know, and I know that a whole lot of people, they talk about David, and which I know it's in David's here in the book of Psalms. He speaks about David, where David's after God's own heart. But you know, I believe if there was an individual that was in the New Testament that was after God's own heart, I believe it would be Paul. Also, because Paul said that, you know, I must decrease and he must increase. And what he's saying is that we must not think of ourselves as someone. We must always think of God and think of what he has been doing. And in the last couple, two or three days, I've been praying hard because I got to the, and I know it was the devil. The devil's been playing tricks all week, and he does. He plays on our emotions. He plays on our mind and everything, and he will get us down if we don't watch it. Now, he liked to got me down yesterday, but I'm so thankful that my daughter, when she got home, she got me straight. And, you know, I thank the Lord for my daughter. She's one can get a hold to your heart. Not only get a hold to your heart, but she can allow it to touch you in a way that you know that what you want to do it for the Lord. And, but I tell you, you know, I know that right now it seems like that maybe I've been trying to put a whole lot on the church and everything as far as the revivals and the Jubilee and all that. But I want to tell you tonight, and I got to reading this here in the book of Psalms too also, that we must not worry about things that we cannot help, that we cannot do nothing about. I can't do anything about the finances. I can't do anything about the number of people. I can't do anything about none of that. All I have to do is just trust God. And if I trust God, then God's going to do the work. And I believe tonight we can see that, and I hope it's helped you tonight. It helps me because, you know, it's going to be the first time maybe you hear it in this way. I mean, I may have preached it before, but in the way that I'm going to bring it out tonight, but this is the second time I've heard it in the last couple of days. But here in Psalms chapter 1, start with 6 verses there. And I want to bring a message on this thought. How blessed are you? How blessed are you? And how blessed am I? I know it's easy to come to church, and I know it's easy for me to get up here and say that the Lord's blessed me and all of that. But really, when it comes right down to the fact of the matter, how much do I know that what God has blessed? We use, if we don't watch it, we'll use so many words as in the Bible, we'll use them as bywords. As we just use them because we always do. It's like a word that's there for us just to pick up on. But we must remember that all the words that we do use that come from the scripture, that they're not just bywords. They're words that can help us. That can help me to be stronger in my faith. It can help me to walk straight for the Lord. It can help me to where I can be a better servant unto Him. But it says right here in the book of Psalms in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man. Now that's just not speaking of the male individual. It's speaking about blessed is the man, or blessed is the woman, or blessed is the human being that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this few verses we just read. And Father, we pray, Lord, now that you would just speak to our hearts and what these verses are saying to us tonight. The Father, that we can be challenged as a blessed people, Father, that we can be challenged within the next days ahead of us, in the next week, and the months ahead of us, Father. We want to thank you. And what you're going to do, we're going to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. that you rightly deserve. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We can go always back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 28 is talking about the blessed man, how God blesses the individual. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 says, and God blessed them. Who did God bless? Was God blessing the fowls of the air? Was he blessing the animals? No, he was blessing the individual. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given you every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. He had got down to the point that what he had done here, he was on his last day of his creation. And he had brought about the fowls of the air. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and I don't want nobody to get offended or anything like that. You know me, and I'm going to tell you like what the book says. And it says right here, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say anything about, and God blessed the alternate lifestyle. It didn't say God blessed the homosexuals. That God didn't bless the unrighteous. But God said, bless them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm going to say something right here that I'm sure that y'all have probably heard it before. But did you realize that we have got the same right up here where he had the fowls of the air and the creeping things and the animals and everything where he created? He created them too. But you will never find two female deer out here laying with two females. It will never happen. You'll never see two male dogs laying together either. Because that's the way God created. God said, multiply. And how do we multiply? You have to multiply between the two sexes, between the male and the female. That's the only way the earth has ever has been able to replenish in what has happened. Because you know yourself, in the Old Testament, where there was thousands of people that got killed, thousands of people was murdered, And look at all the individuals that went across the Red Sea there. And when he divided the waters there. And when Moses and his people went across dry land. What did Pharaoh do? He came in and he brought his people with him. And as soon as they got all the way in. And as soon as probably they got down to the halfway mark of going across. What happened? God took his hand back off of the water. And I don't believe he just took it this way. I believe he, when he had his hands up like that, blocking the waves, blocking the water. It doesn't say. But I believe also that God did not only done that, but I believe God himself breathed. And he blew upon the ground and he allowed them to go on dry ground. They was on the other side and they did not have any mud on their feet. Their clothes was not muddy. Their clothes was not wet. But as soon as Pharaoh and his army come in, and as soon as they got probably halfway or three quarters of the way, then I believe that God done this. All of them enemies right there was doomed. They lost them lives. They lost their lives. Why? Because they weren't doing what Moses was teaching them. They weren't doing what God was teaching them. And we must realize not only that we have to realize what God teaches, is God teaches us what we must do. Because you know something, God don't need you. God don't need me. But one thing, that's for sure. You need God and I need God. Amen. And I'm so thankful that he took us in. He didn't have to take me in. He could have just said, no. Said, look at all the things that you've done. All the abuse that you caused me. Oh, every time you turned around and you cursed and you down me and you down my name and all of that. Says, why do I need to save you? You know why? Because he said, and God said, bless thee. I don't believe it was just blessing the people at that time. I believe he was speaking about all of humanity. And the reason I use the word humanity, that I use that and in reference to, because I started using it when I was in the city farm. Because you had white and you had black in there. And I did not want to belittle anybody. I didn't want to belittle the black. Didn't want to belittle the white. And I loved the black inmates just as much as I did the white inmates. But I started using the word humanity. Because see, that's what God died. That's what he died for. He died for humanity. And where did the humanity come from? It comes from him. And you know, unless the Lord comes back, unless the Lord comes back and calls us all home and we go through the air to the rapture, good possibility we may have to go by the grave. But you know what? If we go by the grave, they can come out there in 10 years and they can open that casket of mine, and they can look in
and they can't see no resemblance at all of who was there, except for the name that was on the headstone is the only way they could do that. The only thing that they would see is dust. Where the dust had went back to from where it came from. But you know what? They can take it, they can rob the stone off of it. They can have a grave there with no markers, no nothing on it. But God knows who is there. God knows exactly who is there. One of these days, before we get up, and before we start out of here through the air, if a rapture happened to take place, the people over there, down floor here, the ones over Highland Borough Park, the one that's up on 58, and all around the world, the ones that has gone on before us, that's dead in Christ, they got priorities over me and you. Because see, they're gonna raise first. They're gonna raise first, and here they're gonna be. They're gonna be right here, hovering to where we all gonna gather together. Because see, we're gonna all go together. We're gonna all be right there with Him. And I'm so thankful tonight that I can honestly say tonight, everything in my heart right now, I'm not ashamed to go right now if He wants to take me. I'm not ashamed to go. Because I made sure I've got things right with God. Yes, and I've had to do some praying this week. And we have to do that every day to get our life right and in order. For Him just to be blessed. But He's there in heaven right now. Just waiting for some of the people. Whether they on a job. Whether they at home. Wherever they may be. God's just waiting for them just to say, I got 15 minutes. I can give God 15 minutes. And talk to God. We think because in talking to God that we got to bow our heads, we got to close our eyes, and we got to go into a meditation state. No, that's not prayer. What prayer is just talking to Him. Talking to Him, and what comes out of our mouth, what comes between these two lips of mine and off of this tongue that I have, should be the same thing that's on my heart. Because see, He don't listen to the tongue. For the praise. He listens to the heart. And we can speak to Him through the heart. And I thank God that I had that. But blessed is a man that can do that. Blessed is a man that can just worship Him wherever. And you know, we're getting in a position today and time now. That if we go out, or if we even go out and get a meal or something like that at a restaurant or something like that, we'll get embarrassed if we say the blessing. I'm not embarrassed in saying the blessing. I'm not embarrassed at all. I'm not ashamed of my Lord, because he's done so much for me. He done some things that I could not do for myself. He forgave me of my sin. I couldn't even forgive my own self. Neither could you. But he did. And we've got one that went to Calvary. He's the right hand of God the Father tonight. And he's praying for us. He's lifting our name up. He is lifting up Faith Baptist Church up to the Father through prayer. Why? Because he wants his Father to be honored. He wants his Father to be blessed. And he wants the church to be blessed. He wants the people here in this congregation tonight to be blessed. And I thank God for it. But I'm so thankful that I do have an advocate. That I've got a lawyer. And one thing about it, when he saved my soul, he pardoned me. He took everything that I'd done and he washed it away. My slate is clean. And he goes to the Father and says, Father, bless him. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, well,
you know, I know that I've said things and I've done things against you.
Somebody saying, well, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. Are you sure you said something? I've never heard it. They said, well, you must have turned a deaf ear to it. Hey, my Father, my Papa, my Heavenly Daddy, he says, son, what sin are you talking about? He says, I see no sin on him. The only thing I can see, son, is your precious blood. It's your precious blood. And you say, well, how did you know? How did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ will go to the Father and say, Father, bless them and forgive them for what they don't know they've done or something like that. But just bless them, for they know not what they do. You may tell you how I know? You may tell you how I know that Jesus Christ is doing that for me? Not just for me, but for you? It's because my lawyer knows the judge. And my lawyer also has a personal relationship with the judge. And I don't think the judge is going to turn him down. Because if he turns him down, then he's going to deny everything he's ever done. See, Jesus Christ has a personal relationship with the Father. So that means if we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ,
then we also have the personal relationship with the Father. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
You know, I don't know what it is here lately, but I've had more people tell me, says, preacher, we're praying for you, just hanging out. Praying for the church, just hanging out. Brother J.D. Walker called me this morning, and I was talking to him. And he asked me, he says, well, how's the church been? I said, well, it's doing pretty good. He says, you sound like you've done a damn. I said, well, man, I have been this week. I said, but you're not thinking, oh, I will be all right, I knew that. And he said, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. He said, and I know you know it. But you know the devil wants to close Faith Baptist Church. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, plus, did you also know that the church is just one step away from? You're going to have to let me know something, man. Come on, man. You tell me something I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the devil's working. And I said, I've always said all along, as long as the devil's working on me, then I know that I must be doing something right for God. Mm-hmm. Because he don't want to work on people that, you know, that he already got, because he don't need to. I said, well, you let me know what's going on. You've heard something I ain't heard yet. I said, what's going on? He said, well, he said, like I said, you're one step away from closing this door. Did you know also that the church down in South Carolina, it's got the voice on there.
Tabernacle?
Huh?
You talking about the Tabernacle?
Harold Slackman. Right. He said, you know that church? He said, I can't tell exactly how many people he had by it. But he says, you know, it's over 1,000. He said, did you know that it's just one step away from closing this door? I said, you explain something to me now. I'm looking for the rapture in half a minute day now, but if he's come out and told you something that I don't know, let him know. But he said, no. We all are one step away. One step away from losing our testimony. And he said, that's all the church has to do, because the church is losing its testimony. They don't have no way out of it. And it's true. I mean, that's a whole lot of truth to that. Because what have we got? And I'm gonna close with this, I promise. But what have we got in our testimony? We don't have no character. Because you can't have a testimony without having character. And you can't have character. They're going together. But I told Don't worry about that, dude. I said, if Joel Dunham, if Faith Baptist Church in Greenville, Virginia, if it closes, the only way it's going to close is going to be closing due to the rapture. And then the moment as we leave, then the Antichrist is going to put somebody else in there to do what he wants to do. I said, but that's all that's going to close that I see it right now. Because I am looking for greater things. Right? And he did ask me this. I am going to close with this one thought. And it just comes to me about what he says. He says, you said something about it to me. Indeed, some of it, when I come in, about having a new belief. And want me to come to the Father. And he said, I'll thank you. He said, and they had you believe in him before. I said, I don't know if a man had. I said, but it's the first one I've had. And he says, that's good. He said, I know y'all get it in people. He said, don't worry about it. He said, just don't worry about it. He said, though God is going to take care of all expenses.
Yes.
And I believe that also. I do, and sometimes I get kind of down on the show, but sometimes I don't, in my doubts or all that, but that's human. And I told him, I said, now, and it's ironic because this year, in November, will be the 50th year anniversary of the church being established. And he said, well, that's what the number 50 means, Jubilee time. And he says, we're going to be time. He said, because I've always been talking to people, been thinking about coming. We need to be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this day, and thank you for this evening, Father. Thank you for the word that you've given us all of tonight. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, allow me to look at them once again, Father, and I can hear from them, Father, and not forget about them. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are blessed people, Father. And I know I'm blessed by you, Father.